What is up, boys and girls, and everything in between? This is Bear With Us. I'm Matt. She is Leah. Leah, how are you, my dear?
I'm okay. A little uneasy. You know, a lot happening right now.
If by a lot happening, you mean the madness that every American citizen is simultaneously experiencing, that is the 2020 presidential election.
There's a lot happening, but I don't want to focus on that. I feel like before we came in the studio this morning, just right now when we left the car, I was like, let's just leave it in the car. Let's go into the studio. Let's have some fun and just kind of try to decompress and not think about everything happening in the world.
So there's two ways to look at this episode this week. Either we are going to help you out by providing a little much needed levity, or we will be of no service whatsoever and you can continue to stress out because, let's be honest, everyone had a guy, everyone had a pick, and no matter who you picked for, you're rooting for that guy, and the next 4 years will be mighty interesting. But that's all we have to say about that. This is not a podcast about politics. It's a podcast about the boring shit we do in between. Babe, I know, just like me, you woke up stressed out this morning, just like most of the world, but I was able to decompress. And you know what I can thank for that?
Magic spoon.
That's right. Breakfast cereal. Breakfast cereal makes all of my days better when I start it with Magic Spoon. It's been one of my favorite things to eat my entire life, and that hasn't changed even as a grown-up. But the best thing about Magic Spoon, it's good for you.
Yum.
You want to know how good it is, babe?
How good is it, baby?
It's got zero sugar, 11 grams of protein, only 3 net grams of carbs in each serving. Comes in 4 flavors. Cocoa, fruity, frosted, and blueberry. Plus, they're always changing it up. It seems like every season they've got a new flavor for limited times only. But they're all awesome. They taste amazing. They're honestly, like, too good to be true. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb,
and most importantly,
GMO-free, because I know how bad you hate the GMOs.
I hate GMOs. They gotta go.
Get up on out of here.
Go to magicspoon.com/bearwithus to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code BEARWITHUS, B-A-R-E, at checkout to get free shipping. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. That's magicspoon.com/bearwithus and use the code BEARWITHUS, B-A-R-E, for free shipping.
And we want to thank Magic Spoon for sponsoring Bear With Us.
I forgot something very important we have to talk about that happened on the way here.
I mean, we literally just started this.
I know, podcast. But I can't believe I didn't come out the gate with this. Matt almost got in a fight this morning on the way to the studio because we almost ran over bicyclists. Well,
you just made us sound like the guilty party.
Okay,
we didn't almost run over
bicyclists.
I was joking.
We didn't. We really didn't. I was driving and there was this group of bicyclists, which, by the way, Matt and I ride our bikes all the time, so we get it. You know, we want to be respected while we're riding our bikes on the road. However, these guys were being such assholes. They were riding like 4 bikes deep on a single lane road that was a main busy road. And there was no bike lane, which I get. Sometimes I ride it when there's not a bike lane. I understand. But they're holding up traffic, and it was very obnoxious.
They're like cycling elitists.
Yeah.
I bet you there are a bunch of vegans in the group and a bunch of people.
Oh my God,
who
there's nothing wrong with being vegan.
There's a lot of things wrong with being vegan.
Babe, don't there's
That's
not.
Another podcast for
are
another day.
Are you kidding me? You guys, I cannot with him. Anyway, Matt proceeded to try to jump out of the car to beat up one of the bicyclists.
I had to
grab him by the shirt and yank him back in because I was like, this is not worth going to jail over.
I admire your willingness to sacrifice the truth in favor of a good story.
Okay, did you not unbuckle your seatbelt?
I did unbuckle my seatbelt.
And try to open the door.
I didn't exit the vehicle.
But you tried.
I considered it strongly.
Right.
And
had
if it weren't for you grabbing me somewhere around the chest region of my jacket/shirt... there's a good chance I would have beaten someone up.
Right. So you're welcome for not having to, you know, go to jail.
Thanks. All right. Enough about our week. What are we talking about today, baby?
We are talking about aesthetics. The physical appearance.
Of?
Ourselves. We're going to be vain. We're talking about looks today.
Gonna be.
Are you implying that I'm vain?
I made no such implication.
You're so vain. You probably think this song is about you. Don't you? Don't you? That's going to be the theme of the day, so be prepared.
So you're basically like Carly Simon all of a sudden.
We figured.
Carly Simon was the woman who sang that song.
Do you think I'm some sort of moron?
I don't think you're a moron at all. I think sometimes you don't necessarily know the background on the words that you speak.
I do know that song.
I know you know the song. You just sang it. I just wasn't aware if you knew who actually
okay, here's
wrote
the thing
slash
about
sang.
Me. I don't know a lot about bands or names of bands or names of albums, names of songs. I don't know that. But if you are like, do you know the song? I'm like, oh, I don't know. And then you play it for me or you sing it for me. Then I'm like, oh, yeah, of course I know. But I'm terrible with names of songs, artists, bands, albums. But I know the songs that I like.
Right. So I was just informing you of who the woman was.
Right. But
the
I
song.
Do know that it was her.
Okay.
Carly Simon.
Great.
Right.
Now that that
love that
issue's
her.
Been resolved.
He walked into the party like you walking onto a yacht. And all the girls dreamed that they'd be Ben's partner. They'd be Ben's partner. That's from 10 Things I Hate About You. Oh no, how to lose a guy in 10 days. Anyway, we're talking about looks today. The physical, the outside, not the inside, which is usually what counts, you know. But we're going to just be a little vain.
That's just something ugly people said so they didn't feel bad about themselves. That's from a movie. I didn't make that up. But I love to judge people. Let's judge people. Are we judging other people or are we judging ourselves?
We're going to judge ourselves.
Oh, okay.
I mean, and other people, I guess.
Can we judge
and
other
the
people?
The things that they do. But no one in particular. No one specific.
I was trying to create some sort of podcast rivalry where I could say vitriolic, vicious things about people I don't know and hopefully they respond.
I don't know if that's necessary, and I think that would be like setting ourselves up for failure.
Oh, okay. What do you mean by discussing aesthetics? How, like, pertaining to what?
Nowadays in society, social media, there's this crazy sort of pressure to look a certain way, present yourself a certain way, be a certain way, act a certain way, and it's hard to keep up with.
But it's beyond, let's take social media out of the equation for now.
Okay.
Aesthetics are something that have been important to, like, mankind forever. Obviously, cultures find different attributes attractive and whatnot, but that's always been a human thing, trying to make yourself look presentable so that other people will f*** you.
Oh, is that why?
That's kind of the reason.
What about, like, to get a job? Don't you have to look a certain way or present yourself a certain way to get a job or get hired? Does that not count?
I guess it counts.
Or is it just to get f***?
But I'm saying, historically speaking, before there were jobs, people would wear, like, sweet animal fur so they could get it on.
Is that all you think about?
Basically.
But that's how we operate in general. Like, we're always on social media, especially with our jobs, and trying to, like, we had this episode a couple weeks ago, keeping up with basically the Kardashians on social media.
Can I say how proud I am of my lack of attention spent on social media for the past several months? It's become more of a task that I have to do as opposed to something I want to do.
Okay.
I read Twitter now for news and entertainment.
Sure.
But I don't partake as frequently as I once did. Same
well,
and Instagram I've never been good at or cared to do. I just do it because I have to.
I'm trying to get better with it. Just post and then walk away and not read the comments, not be like just there scrolling all day.
Okay, let's get back to the
anyway,
subject at hand.
Yes.
Looking a certain way so people will do you.
Okay, well, for me, I've always been someone who's really big into hair and makeup. And I just always feel like I'm at my best when I have full glam. You know, you're always in the hotel room when I'm getting my hair, makeup done. And when I'm done, I always just feel like $1 million bucks.
Yeah.
Also,
I love waking up at 6:30 a.m. to your alarm so that some stranger can barge into our hotel room where I'm still in my underwear and start painting your face.
Right.
It's my favorite thing.
Right.
I love it.
Love that for us. But I don't know. It just makes me feel good. I can do my makeup and I'm like, okay at it. But when someone else does my makeup and I'm done, it just makes me feel, I feel like I have a certain swag, a certain confidence about myself all day. And I know that's crazy. And I know, like, okay, we're supposed to feel beautiful without makeup. And I do sometimes, yes. But when I have my makeup done, it just makes me feel good.
But I don't think it's as simple as sticking to just makeup. And it's not just a female thing. Like, there's certain things I think that guys would admit that they do because it makes them feel a certain way.
Right. Like what?
Like, for me, I'm big into the, as you refer to it, male grooming, which, despite my current aesthetic, you would not know because I have an unkempt beard.
But I don't get that. Like, when you say that all the time, like, oh, I just don't feel pretty or I don't feel handsome because your beard's not lined up or your hair is not cut properly. To me, it's not ever something that I'm like, oh, my God, I can't even look at him.
Can I tell you where my mind goes, why I think I'm the way that I am when it comes to this sort of thing?
Please tell me.
I envision if the roles were reversed and we are nude together or in the act of some sort of passion, I think a beard on my inner thigh would feel disgusting right now. Or I think this would be gross. I'm just saying, for me personally, it's the idea grosses me out. So I just assume, maybe I project onto you, like, my chest is stubbly. I wouldn't want to touch me. She probably doesn't want to touch
me.
The
only time that it bothers me is if we're spooning and you have, like stubbly hairs on your chest. And that, to me, I'm like, it makes me itchy. But other than that's that, that's the only thing. And I can get over that. I'll just put a shirt on you put a shirt on.
And like, I don't read into it any more than that. Like, you say, okay. But I look at it and go, oh, okay. She has intimated to me verbally. She has flat out said, it's not comfortable when you haven't shaved your chest for like 2 or 3 days and it gets real prickly and stubbly. So I go, well, I plan on spooning you at some point in the next 12 hours. I want to make sure that I'm at least...
And I can appreciate that. That's respectful.
Like, I mean, let's be honest. You take great care of yourself. But if, like, we were cuddling or doing whatever, and I was like, oh, man, that's sandpaper. Nope, that's your leg because you didn't shave.
Ew, if you said that, I would be so pissed.
Right. But, like, I always just think, oh, she might think that's gross. And it's not just...
What about the beard thing? Like, when you're talking about, oh, if my beard... is on her inner thigh. But to me, you have a beard anyway, whether it's lined up or it's not lined up.
I never said
there
was any facts behind my thought process. That is simply how my mind works. I just think, oh, you're going to do X act. I want to make sure everything is as well kept as possible.
Right.
I feel like it's a courtesy thing.
Well, what if things aren't kept up and there's like a surprise, you know, a little...
Are we talking
Do
about
you
like
get
a,
like,
stray,
oh, I can't.
A stray hair? Or are we talking like odors? Or what?
Just in general. Like, I feel like no matter what, I always make sure I'm ready to go. I'm not like, oh my gosh, well, if we have sex tonight. And like, I'm always ready.
I feel as though I mentally am always ready. Now, listen, because I know you're going to laugh at me and try to cut me off, but I shower almost obsessively sometimes when I think there's a possibility that it may get to a certain point. It's not like, oh, I have to, we're making out, I need to go jump in the shower. That's not
yeah,
that
that's
bad.
Weird.
Yeah.
I could
but
not handle
if,
that.
For example, yesterday, we're having a nice chill afternoon, you know, feeling good. And I'm like, oh, all right, this is more than likely going to be one of those evenings where we, you know.
What if it was one of those things where just right then and there on the couch, I just wanted it? You'd be like, hold on, babe, let me go shower.
It depends. Like, yesterday wasn't bad because I showered the night before and all I had done is like stand outside in the cold and vote. I didn't do anything physical. Right. I wasn't sweaty. I wasn't stinky. I just was like, oh, I feel like I would feel fresher. I don't want to be not offensive to you if we're getting after it. I want to smell good. I want it to be like a positive experience. I don't want you to be like, oh, the sex was awesome, but God, you should have showered
but
first.
But I feel like it's one of those
things. Because to me, I'd be like, oh, man, that was amazing sex, but yeah, I don't know if I'm going there again like that.
What? But babe, I feel like once you're together and you're in a relationship, you know, like we've been together, it'll be almost 2 years. We know how each other is.
Right.
So if like there's one time where it's like, oh, I didn't shower, like it's not that big of a deal. I'm not gonna be like, oh my God, I'm never having sex with him again.
No, totally. And I forget, once in a blue moon, like, yeah, the mood strikes
yeah.
And it's just like, all right, all bets are off. Totally cool with that.
Yeah.
Just as a rule of thumb, I try to always be at least like presentable.
I feel like when you're in love and you just like want to have it doesn't mean that everything has to be so perfectly planned out and
I agree.
Put together. That to me is even sexier. It's like, oh, this wasn't even like, I didn't even know that this was going to happen, but here we go. Like, I'm down.
It's like, oh man, I just got out of hot yoga and I got these great Lulu pants on. I can't wait to
But sometimes that's hot too. Like if you're like sweaty and gross.
If you're both sweaty.
Like, it's like,
if you're
oh,
both sweaty.
Yeah.
If one, it's just to me, it seems
like,
very
let's
strange.
Do it.
That's that. That's why I am obsessive about
male. We just
male
got
porn.
Into so much about the grooming, but that's okay. What about, like, when it comes to physical appearance, like your tattoos? What is your thought process behind that?
So I have always wanted to be tattooed. I remember.
Since when? When's
since
your first memory of it?
I was probably 12 years old. And this is going to sound stupid, but I used to have a video game, a wrestling video game, where you could create your own character. And from the age of 11 or 12, anytime I would create myself, I'd always have sleeves of tattoos just because I always thought it looked cool. Subconsciously, after years of soul searching, and you know, obviously I worked in a tattoo shop and did all that stuff, I think in the end I got tattooed to keep people away from me, because I started doing it at a time slightly before where everyone and their mother was tattooed from head to toe. Like now, it's probably more rare to find someone who doesn't have a tattoo.
Yeah,
I got really obsessive with it because I just thought it was different and cool, and it was like this counterculture badass looking thing. And that's all. I just loved the way it looked, because there was a certain, at the time, I don't want to say a preconception that came with tattooed people, but they weren't like, oh, hey, here's your local congressman, and guess what? He's got a Japanese sleeve. Like, it wasn't that commonplace. It was still kind of like, oh, those are the dudes that kind of run in a different part of society, which maybe wasn't the case, but that was my perception of it at the time.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? Yeah, I don't want to be like everybody else. I want to be different. I want to stand out, but not necessarily draw attention to myself. It was kind of my way of going, leave me alone.
But I find it funny because of your tattoos, the amount
of
people, that, hey man, love your ink. Hey man, where'd you get that done? Hey man, love your tattoo. Like, people talk to you when we're together way more than they talk to me.
I also hate that everybody thinks that because I have tattoos and they have tattoos that somehow we're bonded. Nothing is worse than when somebody who is across the room from you and can't even ascertain what is tattooed on your body, and they're like, hey man, great ink. Check this out. Or they always try to push their artist on me. Oh, I know a guy. Well, yeah, so do I. Look at me. I probably know a lot more people than you do.
Oh my God.
I don't mean that from like a position of power. I'm better than them. It's just like, hey, this is logic. Okay, if you walk around carrying a bag full of baseball equipment, I'm not going to tell you about Dick's Sporting Goods.
Well, maybe they're just trying to be friendly.
I don't want to connect with people.
The best part was the other day when your daughter was like, Dad, I noticed like you and Leah, you just like, you don't like to talk to people. She's like, and at first we're both kind of like, wait, what? She's like, you know, like if there's people around, you just kind of like keep to yourself. She's like, and Leah, you're the same way. I'm like, exactly. That's why we're so good together.
Yeah.
But for her to notice, she's 10 years old and she's like, you just don't like to socialize.
it's a real thing. And it's not like, oh, I hate people. Oh, I'm antisocial. I just kind of don't want to be bothered unless it's by my choice.
Right.
If I, you know me, you always tell me all the time, I'm more social than you are.
Yeah.
I will have a conversation that is nothing but small talk.
Yeah.
I can do that. I have that ability.
Yeah.
But
see, me, not so much. And it's funny because I feel like, you know, we have this podcast and with our jobs that we have, maybe that's why I don't like to talk to people. Like, why I just want to be left the hell alone, because we're constantly having to be on for work. So when it comes to personal life, I'm like blinders. Like, it's just me, just my family, just my man. Like, that's it. I don't want to deal with anybody else.
Have you ever had anything that you've done, obviously not permanently, but in parts of your life where you would say it was to push people away, physically speaking?
In recent months, because I wasn't at work for like the entire summer, I took my hair out, didn't have hair extensions, didn't wear my nails, didn't have like eyelashes, didn't wear makeup. And that was, I feel like, the first time in my adult life. And I don't mean this to sound pretentious or stuck up, but like just normal. People, like, a lot of times, because, you know, with our job, you have to have the long hair and constantly with the lashes and just walking around with the fake tan, everything. They're more likely to strike up a conversation with me because A, they might recognize me, or B, they're just like, oh, who is this chick? She's got to be something or whatever.
They want to F you.
And it's kind of funny. We're talking about physical appearance and everything you do to, like, that I would do, at least for work, I didn't have. So all summer, I was just kind of, I felt like a normal person. It was great. Which, I know it sounds so stuck up. I don't mean a normal person.
I felt like you plebs.
But do you know what I'm saying? Like, it was just sort of like I blended in and it was great. I loved that.
So there's no female equivalent of like what
I'm
I was
sure
describing.
That maybe there's females that got tattoos for that very reason.
Yeah.
I mean, I have tattoos, but they're like micro tattoos. I don't have like a sleeve or anything like that.
Yeah, and please don't.
I thought that's what you were into.
No. Just because you caught me looking at tattooed chick porn once does not mean that's all I'm into. The mood struck.
whatever. I'm not even going there. We're not getting into that. Let's talk about plastic surgery.
Can we please acknowledge that my porn setup was a masterful layup?
Yes.
I placed it on the tee perfectly.
Great. Yes.
And here you come swinging the plastic surgery bat.
My favorite thing is when fans come at me and say, oh, you've had so much plastic surgery done, this, that, whatever. The only fucking plastic surgery I've ever had done is my boobs. I have fake boobs. Yes, I have fake boobs. Other than that, never had plastic surgery in my life. But let's go down the list here. Let's run the gamut. Botox. How do we feel about Botox?
Is Botox plastic surgery?
No, but what I'm talking about, like, you know, ways to alter your face. Different fillers, different procedures, if you will.
I'm a fan.
I love Botox. I think it gets a bad rep. People are like, oh, her face is all Botox up. People don't realize what Botox actually is. Botox doesn't make you look fake. Botox freezes the muscles in your face so you don't get wrinkles. Botox isn't going to fix the wrinkles. You have to fill it with like a filler. Yes, Botox will help, but Botox just paralyzes the muscles in your face so they don't move. When people look fake and plastic, it's because they've injected fillers into their face, not because of Botox.
What, when you say fillers, what does that even entail?
Botox is like...
No, I know what Botox is.
I mean fillers. Fillers is like a gel, for lack of a better term, that you use and you put it in your face. It plumps things up. It fills lines. Like, it's what I have in my lips, fillers. It makes them bigger. People can put it in their cheeks to make their cheeks swell more, or like make themselves have a better jawline. But Botox, like I said, it just freezes muscles in your face. It doesn't make anything look plastic.
Guys, if you're listening to this, I'm learning just as much as you are, because we have these conversations, but I never ask the follow-up questions. So I'm finding out what the hell goes through my woman's head when she does these things.
So Botox, I got, my first time I ever got was when I turned 30, because I knew I did not want to have wrinkles. So it's more prevention. I'm all about looking natural. I don't want to put like a bunch of shit in my face and not even be able to move my damn eyebrows when you're looking like you're shocked and you're like, I'm so mad right now, and you can't even move your damn, like Cinderella story with who's the chick that plays Stifler's mom?
The Mother Firefly. I don't know what her name is, but she was in the, yeah. I know her from the horror movies.
Yeah, but it's in the Cinderella story with Hilary Duff, and she's like, I'm so mad right now, and you can't even tell because she can't even move her face.
I'm into that.
Are you?
I like completely emotionally void.
Well, I remember when you and I first started talking, you were like, I love my women to look plastic.
I was like, baby, you remind me of the mannequin in the front window of Macy's.
No, you did say that. You said the more plastic, the better.
I think I might have been being facetious.
I'm pretty sure you were serious.
And I was like, almost positive that's not the case, but.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
I like a good fake boob.
Yeah, I know.
But as far as plastic as a whole, like, I wouldn't say I'm into that.
But before we move on to like other plastic surgeries, I feel like when it comes to Botox, you have a little confession to make.
This isn't a confession. It's maybe an admission.
Admission.
I have partaken in the magic of Botox.
But not for the reasons you would think.
No, it's not because I give a damn about wrinkles in my face, because I want to look like a badass when I'm old, like I've looked weathered and lived a life. gray hair, wrinkles, crow's feet and all. But I think we did it on here about things we don't like about ourselves.
Yeah.
And I was discussing my smile and how I hate it because I had a very gummy smile. And you brought it to my attention via our friend Jonna. Shout out to Jonna.
Jonna!
That Botox can remedy that to an extent. And it has. Like, I've gotten a lot more confident in being able to smile. And all it did was, to your point, froze the muscles in my upper lip.
She put them right next to your nose.
Yeah.
It's like some muscle that connects.
Yeah. And now when I smile, like, my body goes, hey, smile. And it does so. But now only about half as much of my mouth shows as it used to, and I dig it and I like it, and hopefully this is all I need to do rather than spending a fortune on dental implants.
Yeah, you don't need that.
No, I don't. I have great teeth.
I will never understand when a guy tells his, you know, partner that she can't have plastic surgery or she should get plastic surgery. Oh, you need to get fake boobs. If my partner said you need fake boobs, I'd be like, you need to fucking hit the bricks. Bye. I don't like that. Would you ever tell me I need to get something?
No. I think that's like you're just asking for a problem. However, I would say there are probably, if you're a dude or just a partner with somebody who has something that you feel could be better, I feel like is there a way to hint at it or bring it about? I'm asking. I'm not making a statement. I'm asking. If, let's say, I was like, oh man, you've got this really unusual birthmark on your eyeball that drives me a little crazy. And I know it bothers you. Like, is there a tactful way to bring that up?
I think I did it with your smile. I never thought there was an issue with it, ever.
Right, but I brought it up.
And then so I was like, this is what you can do. But I would never, if there was something that thought.
You can never suggest it. Just bring it up out of the blue. Right. Like, hey, babe, you know what I think would be awesome? If you got a labiaplasty. That's a thing.
Oh, my God.
It was the first surgery that came to my mind.
Right.
Because there's nothing wrong with your nose.
You're the worst.
So, no, I was asking just from a female perspective if there's a
tactful way. I don't think there's ever a way. Like, if the woman or the partner, whoever it is bringing it up, then you can be like, okay, yeah, like, I'm in full support. For example, I have been constantly trying to grow my booty out for the last, I don't know, 7-8 years. I've been working consciously on growing it out. And it's gotten bigger.
Let me cut you off there. Because, like, what put that thought in your brain? Because
I hated my ass.
Why?
I felt like I had a pancake ass.
Okay.
I felt like it was small. And this was before butts were even a thing. Do you know what I mean? Because fake boobs were a thing for the longest time, and now, like, asses are the new thing.
Right, which is insane to me that body parts become trends.
Oh, I know.
But, yeah, I lived through it. Like, yeah, big boobs, big hair, all that sort of stuff. And then it became a little bit more understated, and now it's all about butt now.
Right. And everyone, like, a lot of women are getting their breast implants out. Because it's just a thing of the past. Like, that was, like, just this thing everyone was obsessed with. And people realize it doesn't make them feel good anymore. Because, A, like, I had so many back and neck issues when I got my boobs done. For, like, I had to go to physical therapy. And a lot of people, their body rejects the implants. So many women nowadays are getting them taken out. And, like, who cares? Like, big boobs aren't even a thing anymore. I know you're shaking your head over here like, wait a minute, what? But
speak for yourself.
I've been trying to grow my booty out for the longest time, and we're making progress. It's been a long, long road, but I jokingly say I want to get a Brazilian butt lift too, and he freaks out.
I, first of all, didn't think you were joking when you said it,
babe.
And you brought it up on multiple occasions, kind of like those anything in life where you kind of want something but you're afraid to outright say it, so you just kind of hint at it and da 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 da.
Well, I could never do it because of our job anyway. Like, you can't.
It's freaking ridiculous.
Right.
I love your butt. I tell you that all the time. But, like, these Brazilian butt lifts look egregious. They don't look real. They look like you drew a goddamn cartoon. And it's like, at what point is enough enough? Like, it's like when you used to see those women that had literal basketball-sized boobs. And they would wear those tiny bikinis, and they were on any major sporting event for a year. Like, it was like, oh, there's one of those girls. And people would go, oh, that looks ridiculous. It looks fake. It looks stupid.
Well, I guarantee some of these asses you're seeing on porn sites or whatever it is, people you follow on Instagram, I guarantee a lot of them are fake and you have no idea. Because they can do
really?
It. Yes! 1,000%! Because you're just talking about the ones that, again, botched butt jobs, where they make them way too big. But there's a way to do it.
I thought that was, like, the intention of the butt lift, was to make it look like a balloon shelf.
No. People get them, and they look very natural. So many, I guarantee, so many of these asses you look at.
What do you mean, so many of these asses? Like, I just spend all day
Instagram, wherever you look, wherever it is you look, and you know what I'm talking about, they're fake. Promise you.
Okay, but if that's the case, all I had been exposed to were the bad ones.
Right. Well, let me just tell you, it's a thing, and people do it in a way that's natural looking.
Can we talk about
just
the time
like
we got into an argument in an adult entertainment establishment because I was being treated poorly by the server, and you immediately complimented her butt and took her side?
No,
and
I like, never took her side. I said, babe, just leave her alone. It's fine. She has a great ass. And you were like, what? You take her side. I'm like, all I did was say I liked her ass.
Because you had been talking about Brazilian butt lifts for
and
like
you got
3 weeks
so
straight.
Mad at
and
me.
I was like, this is it. This is what you're going to try to use to get that done. And this is going to be your justification. I want it just like that.
All I did was say I liked her ass.
Okay.
And you were a little intoxicated. So let's just.
Not me.
Let's just say that. But also, I will say, I think the pressures of, I know we were talking about just social media, but going back to talking about these porn stars and maybe different people that you see on social media, there's a certain image that nowadays we're expected to look like and withhold because of what's out there on social media. Like years ago, you would just see, you know, like Cindy Crawford or someone on TV, and you're like, oh, she's beautiful. I'll never look like her, but that's fine. Like that's, it's like this unattainable beauty, right? And then you see people walk around every day, oh, she's beautiful, she's beautiful. But nowadays, everyone is on social media and online looking like, oh, well, I want to look like that, I want to look like that. And people are just going and getting surgery and different sort of, like when you go to a med spa, like I said, with fillers and anything like that, to look like these people. And it happens. I read this article because I knew we were talking about this today. I read this article this morning where this plastic surgeon was talking about women between the ages of 18 and 34 that have been going into plastic surgery office and saying, okay, well, I want to look like this. For example, a nose job. I want my nose to look like this. And the plastic surgeon was like, okay, well, look in this mirror and point out to me what you don't like about your nose. And they're like, well, I can't really tell in this mirror, but look at this picture of me. And they're like, I don't like how this sticks out. I don't like this angle. And the doctor was like, for them to only be pointing it out in a photo, which obviously we have photos taken of us and it might not be the right angle, or someone snaps a photo and you weren't ready and you're not going to look your best. But when you look in the mirror and you can't see it. And like that to me was like, wow. And then this plastic surgeon in particular will not do the surgery if they can't point it out in the mirror. So I just think there's just this unexpected, unattainable look we're expected to with.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I think so. And I would, back to your point about when you mentioned Cindy Crawford, there was always like a disconnect. Like there were the beautiful people of Hollywood and the suit and the stars. And right. You're right. It was almost kind of universally accepted as like, oh man, they're just goals,
right.
But not even anything to strive for. It was just kind of like, man, those people just
they're
got
beautiful.
It.
Yeah.
But and that was print. That was television. Now with the internet, Instagram in particular, everybody and their mother think they're a goddamn model.
Right.
I saw something the other day that said, if Instagram went away tomorrow, would you still be a model?
Right. Would you still have a job?
Yeah. And it's just strange to me. And if you do, if you make money off of it and it's, you know, benefiting you financially, cool, more power to you. But there's a perception of attainability.
I'm just like them.
Yeah, they're like me. They're on Twitter. They have the blue check mark, but I can still send them a message and they may see it.
Right.
Whereas before it was like, oh my God, could I ever go on a date with someone like Cindy Crawford
right.
or Elle McPherson? I had the biggest crush on. I'm like, oh my God, I'll never even see a woman like that
right.
in real life. It was too far.
Right.
Now it's like, oh, this chick's a babe. Oh, I followed her on Twitter. She followed me back. Like, we're basically the same.
Right.
And it's almost like a pressure you put on yourself to be like, oh, I can be that. And correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm still not entirely factually certain about this, but like Kylie Jenner, she never really did anything. She's beautiful and she's popular, but she's like the thing now, right?
She's
like the equivalent
of a cosmetic line. She has like a lot of different products.
Right. But who in the hell is going to give Kylie Jenner a cosmetic line if she's just a random chick?
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
It's true. It's true.
But people go, oh, well, she got famous because of Instagram and social media and all this stuff. So I can do it. And I guess to an extent, yeah, there is a possibility of that. But to put all your eggs in that basket just seems kind of crazy to me.
Yeah. Well, and also we have to remember so many people that you see on social media, if you saw them in person, you would never recognize them.
Right.
Because they're filtering their photos, they're editing their photos, they're face-tuning their photos, and everyone's face-tuning their photos to look like they have these crazy doll faces. Like you look like a Bratz doll. And that, to me, is not cute when you're walking around looking like that. And so many people now are going and getting plastic surgery to look like these filters. When it's like, this is not even real. This is not how people look. It's disgusting. It's gross.
Completely unrelated to anything, I am staring at the newly installed monitor in our studio where we can see ourselves while we're recording.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just a nice tight shot of me. And I look like Lon Chaney as the goddamn Wolfman right now. This is not aesthetically pleasing. Can we get a filter on that camera?
See, look, you get, but that's not how you look right here in front of me. Right here in front of me, you look like a mixture between George Clooney and
Charles Manson.
Who's the guy that you like with the guy liner?
Dave Navarro?
Dave Navarro.
Dave Navarro. That's a good looking dude.
Yeah.
Didn't he have kids
with Carmen Electra?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Oh, see, you got the Rodman side of things. I like Navarro.
I would take Carmen Electra. Like maybe she could be my hall pass too. I'm okay with that.
Let's run with that. Someone send Carmen Electra a tweet.
Please. I follow her on Instagram. I'm always liking her and commenting on her photos. And sometimes she responds. And then I die inside.
And then Dave and I can sit in the corner and apply one another's guy liner.
love that.
All right, I'm tired of talking about this. What's in the mailbox? Yes.
Here's the mail, it never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail. Mail!
This was a good week for the mailbag, the mailbox.
So many good questions.
Yeah, and I'm apologizing to those that we didn't get to yet, but keep sending them. BearWithUsPod@gmail.com. Keep refilling the mailbag, and we will do our best to not steer you directly into a bridge embankment.
Question number one, honey. Hello. I really enjoyed the podcast. It has helped me so much. I have recently started to talk to this guy from work. We have been talking for 2 months now. The only thing that is difficult is that his sister is my friend. I honestly didn't see us catching feelings for each other. I honestly just don't know how or when to tell his sister slash my friend. Thanks in advance for the help. I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Weren't we just watching Family Feud last night, and the question was, who is somebody in a woman's life they would hope most accepts their partner?
Yeah.
And I think best friend was like number two.
Yeah.
If one of my friends, who was a good person, good friend, wanted to date one of my sisters, better the devil you know than the devil you don't.
Right.
Based on like, oh, I know this guy's a good dude. If that's the case, I think it could actually be beneficial.
Right.
I don't know there's an instance where...
The only thing that I could see being a negative outcome is if things don't work out and then your friend is forced to choose between you and her brother. If you have a bad falling out.
Yeah, and 1,000 times out of 1,000, they're going to... Well, I'll say 99 times out of 100, they're going to side with their sister.
So let's just hope you don't have a disastrous breakup. And also, maybe it's too soon to find out, but you should be honest and tell her, like, oh, hey, like, I've been talking to your brother and we're just, you know, we're having a good time. We don't know if it's serious yet or not, but who knows? Time will tell.
And I think it's different from girls and guys because I'm cool with, like I said, my friends who I know, a select group, and particularly being at the age that I am now is very different than if you had told me this in high school.
Yeah, it's different.
And, oh, like, hey, Matt, I'm, you know, hanging out with your sister. I'd be like, okay, now we're going to have issues.
Right. That's a very good point.
But it comes with life and maturity, and hopefully you are all mature, and good luck.
Best of luck to you. Hi, Matt and Liam. I'm a huge fan of the pod as well as a huge fan of you both. My question is this. Whenever I agree to disagree on a topic, I'm usually fine to move on, but sometimes my man stays mad at me and gives me the silent treatment. I find this so awkward, especially in front of our kids. How do I initiate a normal conversation when I don't feel I should apologize for having a difference of opinion and won't apologize for having a difference of opinion? Amen, honey. I'm a fellow Scorpio, by the way. Happy birthday, Leah, if that helps at all. Yes, Scorpio season, honey. First of all, don't make it weird in front of the kids. Like, they can feel that.
Yeah.
It's going to be weird or awkward. So you cannot be doing that in front of the kids. So he should at least be a little more mature in that sense. And it's okay to have a difference of opinion. I feel like there's a lot of things that Matt and I don't agree on. But, like, again, he's the one who always says agree to disagree. And that's fine. If you agreed on everything, how boring would your relationship be?
Right. But I don't think it's so much the agreement she's asking about is the... breaking the silence,
right?
Because I can relate to the being silent part, where that's how you tell I'm pissed is, yeah, I just won't talk to you.
Yeah.
And then once you get me talking, we're gonna argue. That's why I just try to internalize everything until it bubbles over in a giant blowout fight that goes way further than it has to.
If you both are on the same page that, okay, I don't agree with you on this, you don't agree with me, as long as it's something that's not going to be a detriment to your relationship, whatever it is that you're agreeing or disagreeing on, move on. Like, you have to pick your battles. You can't fight about every single thing. You can't agree on every single thing. But I find it it's a little strange that he's continuing to give you the silent treatment if you're both agreeing to disagree.
No, give her your advice, you, Leah, personally, when you find yourself in this situation, because I know you have with me.
Yeah.
Where we'll have a tiff.
A tiff, if you will.
Look at this. It's contagious. This is terrifying. I usually just shut down and lock up and don't want to be bothered to talk to. But you obviously you're better at breaking the ice for that than I am.
Well, I just I hate when things are awkward, and I hate when things are not. And things aren't going to be perfect all the time. But for me, I just can't be like, okay, well, we're just not going to talk about it. We're just not. You have to talk about it. You have to get your opinion out. Let him say what he has to say. You say what you want to say. But you have to have the conversation. And to me, it's weird. I don't get it, if the silent treatment. If you're both... Because she's saying they both agree to disagree. They both are on the same page. Okay, I don't agree with you. You don't agree with me. But then he's still not going to talk to her.
Well, but sometimes he might just go, okay, cool. I don't want to get in an argument. I'm going to sit here and shut the f*** up. Because I've done that too, where I go, all right, you're still wrong. I'm just letting you be wrong. I'm not going to fight over it
but
anymore.
See, that's not... This is where we're going to get into a fight.
No. I'm telling you, this is my mindset. This is how I react sometimes. Okay, right, wrong, or indifferent. Screw whoever literally is correct. In my mind, when we go, okay, we'll agree to disagree, doesn't mean all of a sudden, oh, well, we're great. Everything's fine. That issue, that point of contention still exists.
Yeah.
It just sometimes takes me a little while to go, all right, yeah, my hair on my back of my neck is still standing up. I'm still tense. I'm still in the mood or ready to argue.
Yeah.
But rather than engage and get into this argument, I'm just going to sit here. I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to watch TV. I'm going to look at my phone.
Yeah, when you say it like that, that's
what I'm saying.
Yeah. Here's my advice with that. When you do that, I leave. I just go do what I got to do. I go get a massage. I go get my nails done. I go to the mall. Just leave. Let him be. And you can't pry. You can't beg him to be like, come on, let's make it better. No, go do your own thing. Don't sit there and dwell on it. But I will say, if you are in front of the kids, you should have a conversation prior to that. And if you are in front of the kids, regardless of, say he's at home with the kids and you go to the mall, you do what you got to do. You come back home in front of the kids. You don't have to be all over each other and act like you're just so in love, but you should act somewhat normal. And then you leave it at that. Yeah. Then you go upstairs, you go to bed. That's fine if you're not talking, but not in front of the kids.
That's the easy part of the situation. Just always keep it away from the kids as much as possible. It's not always possible, but trust me, listen to me. Try to stay away from the kids whenever you guys are at odds. But if it's a agree to disagree situation, think of it like a wound, like it's begun to scab over. If you leave a scab alone for a couple days, it heals. It's totally back to normal. It's skin again. But if as soon as it starts scabbing over, i.e. agree to disagree, and then you go, yeah, well, but do you see what I'm saying? Do you understand? Like, you're not still mad, are you? Any of that sort of stuff?
Say everything you have to say. Put it all out on the table, because if you don't, then like Matt says, you're going to come back. Well, what about this? What about? No, leave it there. End it. It's done. And then move on. And then eventually, if it's not something that you're willing to end your relationship over, then you got to move on. Eventually, you can't stay mad at each other forever. You're going to get over it.
Beautiful.
Love that.
Next.
Oh, one more.
I think I sent you a bunch.
You did, but I just feel like we've been talking forever.
We have been, but I'm wound up ready.
Okay. Hey, y'all. Love you both. I haven't dated since junior year of high school. It's been about 7 years. I've always had really bad confidence problems. I have absolutely no confidence in myself. How can I get over that issue and find the one?
Ooh, yikes. That's a tough one.
Don't be looking for the one. That is a terrible way to go about things. First of all, you need to be yourself. You need to be you, do you, and just find who you are. I know you're saying you have confidence issues. So do things for yourself that will make you feel more confident. Maybe get a hobby. Do things that you can focus on for you. Because once you're confident in yourself, you'll be able to be confident in a relationship. But if you're just sitting there with no confidence, trying to look for the one, it's not ever going to happen.
Yeah, you got to handle yourself first, man. Get yourself in order to the best of your ability first. Don't look at it as, oh, this girl might like me more if, that girl might be interested in me if. Look in the mirror, figure out what you don't like or what you do like, and either enhance it and accentuate it or fix it if you can do that. If you don't like the way your hair looks, find a dope-ass barber and let him take care of you. If you don't like your clothes, granted, I mean, I'm not saying money grows on trees, but you can simplify. You can pare things down to where you need to feel that you're at your best when you walk out the door.
Yeah, because then if, like Matt's saying, if you find a girl and she's like, oh, I don't like your hair like that. If you're not confident, you're going to be like, oh, okay, well, then I guess I got to wear my hair how she wants me to wear my hair, or I got to dress how she wants me to. No, you have to be you, do you for you. Be yourself, know who you are, because that's going to translate when you meet somebody. They're going to be so into you because of the confidence that you have, rather than you questioning every single move you're making.
And I'm going to give you a tip. Listen. Ask questions. Listen. If you get to hang out with somebody who you're interested in, more often than not, if you can keep them talking and you can keep engaged and you can listen actively and have a conversation and remember and pay attention to what they're saying, that's going to give you way more points than a sweet haircut or an expensive shirt or a nice pair of shoes. So handle that first, but handle your own business first. Worry about you first, and everything else will kind of fall into play. In seventh grade, bro, you got to get on the bike. I'm not saying you got to wife up, but you got to get out there.
Seventh grade.
He said, junior high school. Junior high school is seventh grade to me.
Junior of high school is 11th grade.
Oh, junior year of high school. Yeah. I thought he said junior high school. I don't feel so bad.
No, junior year of high school.
You need to enunciate.
Well, add it to the list of all the things I need to do for you.
Well, all right. That one's going to be.
All right. Well, we made it through.
We did.
I'm going to go get a wax and get a spray tan. Call Jonna so I can get some Botox. Feel a little bit better about myself.
I'm going to go send a tweet to Carmen Electra.
Oh, my God. Give her my number.
Word.
Please. Love that for us. Let's go home to Pyro.
Why are you talking about cats? How do we go from Carmen Electra to cats?
Because I'm just thinking we're going home. Also, the theme of today, I don't know if this was in here already, but you probably think this song is about you. Matt's looking at me like he wants to do it.
That's exactly it.
I gotta shower first, though.
Goodbye forever.
Bear with us.
How do we go from Carmen Electra to cats?